Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Vladko.
Hi, my name is Vladko. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vladko.
I'm a very grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous today and I truly believe that I have spent my entire life searching for a place like this. Right from the get-go, my life was very unstable, was very unmanageable. You know, I came from a household that was very on and off growing up. You know, there wasn't always a home. I was always being shipped off to places. I was never in one place for too long. You know, I was always on the move from one school to the next, one house to the next. And I never learned to really grow in one place and develop a real, you know, meaningful life because there was just so much happening and so much coming and going that I really got used to that sort of life. And the older I got, the more I relied on my friends in particular to be my escape. You know, socializing is definitely one of my first, you know, it was my first addiction, really. You know, I relied on it a lot when there was nowhere to live and there was no home to come home to. You know, I would need friends and you know, girlfriends or whatnot to have a place to sleep, you know, whether it was for a week or for a couple of days, you know, I needed those connections. The older I got, the more important alcohol and drugs became socially. So that became my way into a lot of these groups and became, you know, it was like the footing, you know, onto how I went about creating these relationships and maintaining them. The thing is, I probably ended up leaning on alcohol a bit too much, you know, because I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous today. When I was, you know, I was a bit of a late bloomer. I only started drinking really at about 18, you know, maybe a little bit before that. Getting alcohol was quite hard for some reason. But my grandfather passed when I was 18 and I spent a lot of time growing up with him. He was probably one of my best friends, but things were a bit rocky in that last year and a half before he died, and I never learned how to really deal with any real emotions growing up. You know, everyone was very emotionally unstable and unavailable, both my parents included. So when he passed, my thinking was to, you know, this will just blow over, right? It's a part of life, you know, like we'll just have a good weekend out with the boys, you know, all will be good, you know, come Monday, maybe Tuesday. You know, I was a sucker for those 2 day sick days, Monday, Tuesday. The thing is, it didn't actually pass. And I spent a long time running from that. You know, I have this heart that holds on to. There's a few people, you know, I've come across in my life, whether it's been partners or family or friends that I've had real connections with and they've either passed on or moved into other realms. And it seems those hold a lot of weight on my heart and soul. And to this day, even they seem to be one of the more difficult things for me to overcome. It didn't really pass. And I spent a long time running from any real responsibility and from any sort of real attachment to this world. Like I kind of just wanted to be a bit of a vagrant and kind of just roam around, you know, like I was always in new flats and new friends and I was just always on the move and I just couldn't really get too close to anyone and I didn't really want to. And somewhere down the line, I also kind of forgot how to really connect to people. I know this is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, but my story heavily involves drugs as well. Particularly anything that could have been administered intravenously. A lot of crime as well, you know, about 6 or 7 months after my becoming what I would guess is a full-fledged alcoholic, I went to jail for the first time for about 6 months, and that didn't really fix anything. You know, I kind of had this very nonchalant perspective of life. You know, I really didn't care if I was coming or going. I didn't really care if I was in trouble or not. I really had no qualms about what was going on. You know, I was kind of just mindlessly floating on. Fast forward a bit, I came into the rooms just before I turned 21 for the first time. And, you know, I heard a lot of people at the time say they couldn't imagine being a day sober. I was that sort of person that couldn't imagine wanting to be a day sober. I really didn't know, you know, I was so far gone under that rock that I couldn't really imagine what a life in sobriety could even look like, you know. I had no idea what I would do, who I would talk to, what I would talk about even. I was completely at a loss. But I didn't really have anywhere else to go. You know, I moved up from Christchurch to Auckland, and I didn't really know anyone that was out, you know, wasn't a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So somehow I got stuck in, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, I had a lot of, you know, I was always this person with big ideas, both in active addiction and when I got sober as well. And I had these crazy ideas of, oh, if I'm sober for this long, you know, I'll look like this, and, you know, life will be like this, and I'll do this and that. And I got so caught up on these things, I became such a miserable person because I was just holding on to, you know, my will and how life should really go. One thing I've really learned from that is that the idea of being well gets in the way of becoming well. And it was quite hard to let go of all those things, because looking back on, you know, what I wanted, you know, when I first got sober, I don't have any of that, but I also don't want any of that today. I have these other things that are irreplaceable, but I wouldn't trade it for absolutely anything, you know. Being an active part of Alcoholics Anonymous is probably the only positive thing I've done in my life, and it's definitely shaped the way I see and interact and, you know, feel the world, you know, change thoughts, feelings and attitudes. And whatever I was doing before, I became, you know, an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous that practiced the 12 steps. Life wasn't working out so well. It wasn't working out well at all, you know. My life was unmanageable, you know. I thought I was Tony Montana, but I couldn't pay rent most of the time, you know. I was a mess. My fridge was full of moldy food all the time, and I was always back on laundry, and Monday and Tuesday were always sick days because I was, the weekend was, you know, my time, you know. I had no idea how to be a real adult, and I had no idea how to cope or deal with anything in a real way. Alcoholics Anonymous has equipped me for the first time in my life to properly deal, well, I feel, to properly deal with the world and whatever could come my way. And the beauty of it is whatever I'm going through, you know, particularly thanks to modern technology, I have this thing called a phone. I can talk to anyone in Alcoholics Anonymous who's been through the same thing or is currently going through the same thing. And that shared experience is a blessing, you know, that is so helpful. You know, I'd rather that over just advice any day. But, you know, I know this program is a blessing. You know, one of the things I did just this weekend past, it was my grandfather's birthday, and growing up he always used to make me pancakes, and me and his wife, my grandmother, made pancakes, and we went to his little memorial, and we had breakfast with him, and that was amazing, you know, to get in touch with something so raw and human-like, rather than just running from life in pubs and bars and casinos, just fighting for an escape, you know, with a head the size of a balloon, you know, a hot air balloon. So, yeah, I'm really grateful to be here today. It's grateful to be a part of this, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Flagco. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the Next person to share is Sophie.
Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sophie. Sophie.
And I'm really, really grateful to be sitting here this morning. If, you know, if someone had been at my first meeting and told me that in 9 months' time I would be, it would be 10 o'clock on a Saturday and I would be sharing on the radio, I probably would have laughed and I would have walked out and never come back. Because that's not what I wanted when I came in. I don't know what I was looking for when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, but it wasn't anything like what has happened since. I started drinking really young. I think I was 10 years old the first time I got drunk. I was with my cousin. I was out of town. I can't remember what the drink was. I can just remember how it made me feel. And, you know, from the first sip, I was in love. I'd never found anything that worked so well to fill this unexplainable hole inside of me. I had always felt like I was on the outside of everything. I couldn't fit in. I didn't know how to relate to people. I just didn't know how to live in the world. And when I found alcohol, it made me feel like I could fit in and I could be normal and I could speak to people and I could dance and I could, you know, do all of these things that I saw other people doing without alcohol. And, you know, it didn't click for a while that, you know, I needed alcohol to do that. That was the only solution I'd ever found. And it worked really well for a long time. I was mostly just a binge drinker for the first few years of my drinking. Just on the weekends with my friends, I was always a blackout drinker. I was always messy. I would start and then I couldn't stop. In the beginning, at least, I didn't know that I didn't want to pick up the first drink. But I never intended to pass out or to throw up in the middle of a party or wake up on someone's lawn or, you know, any of these things that just started happening. That wasn't the goal, but I accepted that for a long time as just part of it because the drinking just felt so good and it fixed everything. And, you know, so that was just part of it. And then, you know, I got older and I was drinking more and the chaos just got bigger. And the relief that alcohol was giving me just wasn't, you know, it wasn't the same ratio. The relief that alcohol was giving me didn't quite balance out the chaos and the damage that it was creating. And, I kept going. I just started drinking more. I became a daily drinker. I got rid of everything that was in the way of my drinking. You know, I cut off friends. I had stopped speaking to my mum. I dropped out of school. I moved out. Because all of those things were preventing me from drinking the way that I needed to drink to just feel like I could exist in the world. Yeah, that chaos and the pain and the damage that I was causing, it just continued to grow. And, you know, because alcohol was the only solution I'd ever found, I couldn't understand why it wasn't working anymore. And so I just kept drinking more and more and more to try and, you know, get that same freedom that I felt the first time I ever picked up. But I couldn't get there. And I didn't have any friends left. I'd cut off my family. I was just a terrible person to be around. And I just felt hopeless. I knew at this point that I was drinking a little more than normal and my life was in shambles. And I didn't know what to do about it. I don't know how, but I knew that AA existed. And, you know, one night I was just fed up. I was at home and I was just standing in my kitchen looking at all of the, you know, half-drunk bottles of booze, and I just felt like I couldn't pick up one more time, but, you know, I couldn't see any other option. I don't know what led me here, but I walked into my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I got here, you know, I mostly wanted the chaos in my life to go away. I didn't really want to stop drinking. I just wanted it to stop causing problems. I wanted to drink like other people, you know, and I came in and, you know, eventually I got a sponsor, and I got a home group. I was sort of looking like I was kind of doing the stuff, except I wasn't really going to that many meetings and I wasn't actually talking to my sponsor and I wasn't really working the steps or, you know, doing any of these things that now I know that I needed to do to get well. So for 3 months, you know, my life got worse than it was when I was drinking. Because I'd taken away my only solution and I hadn't replaced it with anything. So my life got worse and it was really painful and I became, you know, I was just even worse to be around than I'd been when I was drinking. And eventually I just kind of broke and I'd been white knuckling and I couldn't do it anymore and I relapsed. And it was only one night, and that one night just, you know, it got me a week in the hospital. I had involvements with the police. I, you know, just all of these things that I'd had when I was drinking. But, you know, this was like 4 hours of me picking up and all of that destruction came right back. And, you know, that's when I finally got my step one, you know, that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanageable. And I had sort of worked step one before I came in the sense that I'd written a bunch of crap and sent it to my sponsor and, you know, kind of acted like, oh yeah, I'm an alcoholic, yeah, I guess. But I couldn't feel it in, you know, in my bones in the way that I could after I picked up again. And when I got out of the hospital, I walked straight back into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was finally desperate enough to do the work. You know, I started calling my sponsor every day. I went to a meeting every day for, you know, more than 90 days. I just threw myself into it because I was so desperate and I was so scared that I would drink again. And that fear, you know, it kept me going to do the things that I needed to do. And I worked the steps. I got through my inventory. I've started my amends. And today my life is just so different, and not in the way that I thought it would be different, but I just feel so much more peaceful and I can show up for people and I can be a good friend and I can be a good sister and a daughter. And you know, my relationships have changed so much, and I don't need to drink anymore. That, you know, life still sucks sometimes, but never does the thought of picking up a drink, come into, well, it doesn't cross my mind. And, you know, that's never where I go now. And like yesterday, I got offered a job, and just these things that, like, I'm employable now and people trust me and I can be responsible, and just all of these things that I thought were completely impossible are just coming true. And, you know, everything in my life that I have now, I credit to this program. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thanks, Sophie. And the last person to share this morning is Nina.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nina, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nina.
Yeah, it's been interesting listening to my fellows share their journey. And as I have when I go to meetings, my story varies slightly from, you know, many of the people that I know and love within these rooms. I never really had a problem with alcohol until I hit my 30s. You know, my first drink was at 16 with family at a vineyard in Cape Town, and I didn't really have a taste for it. I did the usual, you know, partying in university and having a few too many shots on the weekend, but it was never my vice up until later in my life. And when it did take me, boy, did it hit hard. Looking back, I always really had a anxiety problem. I never really thought too much about it because I always had coping mechanisms, and none of them were really healthy. You know, I used to suck my thumb until I was, you know, into my early years at school. I bit my nails up, like badly bit my nails up until I was about 17. I used to lie to my family when I did something that I thought was wrong, that I was going to get in trouble with. So I was constantly getting in trouble for, you know, telling stories and lying. I think alcohol was the tool that I used later on in my life to deal with stuff that I hadn't really dealt with. Issues with myself that I hadn't really explored or sought any help to try and overcome. I had a few life changes that happened all around the same time. My dad passed away. I got married 2 months after, and I had a son very soon after that. And, you know, my drinking started with the occasional glass of wine after work. It would be, you know, just a Thursday thing or Friday thing. And then I think when my son was about two, it became a daily thing. I'd have, you know, I'd be looking forward to coming home from work and opening a bottle of wine. And that was like my relief, you know. It just kind of took the edge off. It numbed away a lot of the stress and the anxiety. And I had a lot on my plate, and the alcohol was a way to manage how I felt about having to do all that stuff. And that continued, and, you know, it started with a bottle, and then it was two bottles, and then my vanity stopped me from drinking wine because it had too many calories, so I switched to gin. And then people said to me, oh, you know, gin can make you a bit depressed, so I switched to vodka. You know, any kind of excuse to keep drinking, but not to acknowledge the problem. Fast forward 4 years, daily drinker, half a bottle of vodka, half a liter bottle of vodka a day, 7 days a week, working full time and being a mum to a young child. I, you know, found really creative ways of drinking. The one thing I never did was drink and go to work. But that meant that I racked up a lot of sick days because I wanted to drink. The first thing I wanted to do when I woke up in the morning when I felt so shitty was have a drink, because I knew that drink would make me feel better. But knowing I couldn't go to work, and be smelling off alcohol or be drunk, I'd call in sick. My son was sick. My husband was sick. I was sick. There was some drama that needed to be fixed. You know, my mother had an accident. Whatever the lie was, I just used it because I just wanted to stay home and drink. A few family members did approach me and, you know, talk about it. And they knew that the relationship I was in had its challenges and, you know, wanted me to seek some help because they knew that my drinking was an issue. But as with a lot of things, sometimes we're always the last to see it. I knew that I drank too much, but I didn't think that I was an alcoholic. You know, I'd never, the only alcoholics I'd ever seen were on, you know, American TV shows where they all sit around in a circle and smoke and talk about their feelings. To be fair, our meetings aren't that different anyway, minus the smoking. But, you know, I'd never had any real life exposure to alcoholics. Both my parents didn't drink at all. Or my mom would have half a glass of wine and be completely tipsy. So I never, you know, I never grew up understanding that this was a very real and very dangerous addiction that was slowly taking me. I made a lot of bad decisions, under the influence of alcohol. I put myself in dangerous situations. I put my child in dangerous situations. My relationship broke up. And yet I continued to drink. I didn't, at this point, I didn't really have any control. I didn't have any control over whether I took a drink. It became more important to me than breathing. I'd wake up in the morning and start drinking until I was so drunk that I could barely walk. Then I'd go and sleep for a couple of hours so that I could, you know, maintain some level of normality. Go, you know, pick my son up and you know, come back home, sort him out, and drink again. It was only when I had got to a complete and utter rock bottom and attempted taking my own life that I took this illness seriously. When I came into AA, I had a few relapses, and I tell you, it's worse having a relapse once you know you're an alcoholic. The last time I had a relapse was the worst time. I ended up being chased by police in South Auckland. And lost everything, lost my family, lost my child, lost my home. And as Sophie said, it was different. I felt it completely and innately in every fiber of my being that it was accept Alcoholics Anonymous and the help that they can give me or die. Those were the only two options I had, and this was not being dramatic at all. This was just my reality. I have to say that this time around, I'm doing things that I'm told. I am part of a home group. I have a sponsor, and I'm doing service, and I'm doing the steps. And I have to say, if you don't do all of these things, and just attend meetings, as a good friend of mine says, it's just a social club for nutters. So make sure that you can do everything in your power to embrace all aspects of the program. And I can only talk from experience, but say that things are getting better. It is worthwhile. You know, this journey isn't an easy one, but just doing the next right thing makes me be able to go to sleep at night with a clear conscience and know that I can get up in the morning and do it all over again. So thank you for asking me to share.
Thanks,
thank you,
Nina.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.